The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by DraftKings, a Casino Queen sportsbook. Use our promo code WMVP. That's WMVP. Must be 21 years or older, Illinois only.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, it's sort of been reinvigorating just to hear that Russell Wilson is using us, at the very least, in the group of four. Yeah. Maybe it's realistic, 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Let's talk about the draft as well, because there are lots of options at quarterback. Maybe Watson, maybe Wilson, maybe Fitzpatrick. But there's the draft, too, and the new mock is out with trades now available. And Mel Kiper Jr., who's the best in the business, joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Mel, great to talk to you again. We're in the market for a quarterback yet again. How you feeling today?
Great to be with you guys. I remember the 82 draft. I started in 78, 79 in the Jim McMahon year with 82, I believe it was, when Jim was drafted out of BYU. So, yeah, it's not easy to find quarterbacks, yeah. But certainly Jim won a Super Bowl there in 85, and that was back when I started in this business back. It's been 43 years now. It's pretty amazing how quickly, I think back to Jim and the early years, it's amazing it's been that long.
You look at this quarterback draft or the draft with regard to the quarterback position, Mel, and the expectation is a lot of these guys are going to be gone before the Bears draft at 20, correct?
Yes, no question. Now, you thought maybe a couple months ago, if the season ended, maybe one would drop down that far. Maybe Mac Jones would be there. I think Todd had him going there at one point or trading up for him. I thought maybe 15 could get you a quarterback for New England, but now it doesn't even look like the Patriots will see one there at 15. Maybe they have to move up to get their guy, simply because these guys are really good, and next year's group isn't that strong. You got to wait for maybe a couple years for the Clemson heir apparent, the Trevor Lawrence, DJ, to come along. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name yet. I haven't gotten that one down yet, but he's going to be a real good one. But until that time comes, guys, you got to get the quarterback now. I think Detroit maybe last year. We thought Stafford would play maybe one more year, but Jeff Okuda was the third pick. Maybe Justin Herbert would have been a better pick there, but you got to have some foresight. Maybe Atlanta thinks quarterback this year, knowing Matt Ryan. Maybe another year or two, but maybe one more year, and then you could trade Matt, but maybe Atlanta jumps up to get that quarterback. Who knows? But I thought Kyle Pitts was a guy that would make sense for the Jets at pick number four.
Mel Kiper joining us, and just for those who haven't read, you have those five quarterbacks, those top quarterback prospects, all gone by 9, correct?
Correct, yes. And in trades, that was the thing. Trades is which we saw it with Deshaun Watson, with Patrick Mahomes, with Josh Allen. The list goes. All these guys were traded up 4. Once they got into that 7, I'll say 7 to 12 area, okay, 7 to 15 area, that's when the trades will occur and when quarterbacks start to drop a bit. And I think when you get to that 7 spot with the Lions, they could trade out, let somebody jump in there. We'll see what Carolina does at 8. I think they're definitely taking a quarterback. Will they move up to get one or stay at 8? What happens at Denver? I think Denver looking at a linebacker could maybe move down, and then that would allow maybe New England to jump up. So it's going to be a lot of, the 49ers, are they going to make a move up? What's going to happen late in the first round with the Steelers looking for an heir apparent to Big Ben? So I think, the Bears are the biggest mystery team. Daria and I, on the Daria and Mel show Saturday, we're talking about quarterback and teams, and I said the Bears are the biggest mystery. Who's going to be their quarterback? I mean, this is the year they have to win. Aaron Rodgers isn't going away anytime soon. So, who's going to be that quarterback for the Chicago Bears is the one team that I think we should be probably talking about the most.
So Mel, playing into that, what would you do then? You're sitting at 20. It's something that Waddle and I have we've wrung our hands about, that they're in quarterback hell, that they're in football hell, because they're 8-8 and they're picking 20th. They can't fix it like Jacksonville. They can't fix it like the Jets, but you can always trade for one of these quarterbacks who maybe get displaced because Watson gets dealt. There's talk about Russell Wilson maybe wanting to come here. Or you trade up for one of these five. If you're sitting there and you're Ryan Pace, is there one of these five guys that intrigues you where is worth coming all the way up from 20 to go get?
Yeah, that's a great – yeah, I think if you say 20, is the team going to want to move down that far and take themselves out of a lot of really good players to move down? If you do, then you'd move up, and you could say, I could move up to get Trey Lance. You could move up to get Mac Jones or Justin Fields because they figure to go in that 7, 8, 9 spot. So it's conceivable that could be a possibility. I could definitely, you know, look at that and say, yeah, maybe if you like one of those three, and you're not going to love all three. You might like two of the three, okay, and they're all different. You know, Justin Fields played at Ohio State. Trey Lance played at North Dakota State, only had 17 starts. Mac Jones only had 17 starts at Alabama, but he was great this year, but he's not the dual threat that Fields and Lance are. And Wilson's going to go higher than that. You're not going to get him up there unless you go way up to 2, 3, 4. So to me, probably up to 2. So, you know, if you want to make that bold move, that aggressive move, and give up a lot to go up there, and you feel one of these quarterbacks in that 7, 8, 9 spot is going to be a really good one, and you could certainly make the argument that some of these kids could be that good, then I could see that happening. But you also have to realize there's going to be competition for those picks. Teams won't have to move down quite as far if they deal with New England or they deal with, say, the 49ers. But, yeah, that's a possibility. And then do you want to go hard after Deshaun Watson? Diana Rossini was on today with us on ESPN and said she doesn't think he's going to be traded. They're going to try to keep him there. Matt Ryan, what's his status in Atlanta? Would you make a run at Matt Ryan? Marcus Mariota with the Raiders. There's the whole Russell Wilson talk is – it makes no sense to me, but you know Carson Wentz being traded made no sense to me, and he's now in Indianapolis. So, and evidently the Bears didn't have any interest in him. So, I think there's a lot of options, but which one do they isolate as the guy we really want? Only they can answer that question.
Mel, in your most recent mock, you have Zach Wilson going to the Falcons at 2, and Justin Fields going to the 49ers via trade with Detroit at 7. Why has Justin Fields fallen behind Zach Wilson?
The year he had, that Wilson had was spectacular. Now, I still have Fields slightly ahead of Wilson. So that's a rating sport. It's not a mock draft. Okay. So when you talk to the guys in the league, they're saying that it's Wilson. That Wilson's going to, you know, there's going to maybe get a slight edge. I'll tell you what, guys, it's not a huge gap. So, and a lot of the various people that analyze this stuff may think that Fields has dropped. He hasn't dropped that far. So, you know, I talked to teams. I had a couple teams say they think Fields is right there as the number two quarterback. So they don't disagree with me on that one. You know, Fields didn't have a great year, but he also had an interrupted season with COVID. He didn't have Olave for the Northwestern game. He had a great year in 2019. People say he doesn't see guys, you know, he doesn't throw guys open. He's got to see them open to throw it. Well, you know, they said the same thing about Herbert and Josh Allen, and look where they are. So my point is coach them, you know, and project where they will be in 2, 3 years. And if you feel that, and there's no question Fields is going to run a 4-4. Lance is a great runner. Mac Jones is tremendously accurate. If you like one of those three, then you move up to get them. If you don't, then you feel like a veteran's the better way to go. Like I mentioned, the names of the guys that are potentially out there, but you have to figure that out. That's up to them to figure out who they like the best out of this group and who they feel this year, this year can make them a better football team than they were in 2020.
Mel, who is the best comp, in your opinion, of the current quarterbacks in the league to Zach Wilson?
You know, that's a great question. I think I hate comps. I just think everybody's different. They're like snowflakes. They're all different, you know? I mean, that's just the way it is, you know? All these quarterbacks, you can say, okay, is Justin Fields going to be, you know, Patrick Mahomes? There were some comparisons of Mahomes. Now Patrick Mahomes is Zach Wilson, okay? They're all different. And like I say, everybody has just a nuance to every quarterback that makes them a little different than the guy you're comparing them to. So I don't think comparisons are really accurate, guys. I think they're all, every player's different. We have to try to do it. The Mahomes one makes no sense to me. I hate going there because when you do a comp, you expect that player to be like Mac Jones. Is he Tom Brady? Well, he looks like Tom Brady coming out of Michigan, but doesn't mean he'll be the greatest of all time. Doesn't mean he'll be anywhere close to Tom Brady. So I think when you look at Zach, the way he spins it, the way he can move, I get it. But I don't even know in the NFL right now who you would say he's comparable to. He was a basketball player in high school. He played against a cupcake schedule. He had one great year. He had shoulder surgery in 2019. I think he deserves to be way up there, but this notion that he's better than Trevor Lawrence, and I've heard some people suggest that he's got a higher grade than Trevor Lawrence. Everybody has an opinion. I value everybody's opinion. I just think it's a ridiculous opinion.
Right. Yeah, Mel Kiper joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Two-parter on who you have the Bears taking. So, and speaking of comps, Tom Waddle and Kadarius Toney are not comps. That's
no,
for
we are
sure.
Not. No, we are not.
You have a wide receiver out of Florida going to the Bears at 20. To A, tell us about him, and B, if they were to go this route and then draft a guy in the second or third round, is there a quarterback from the next tier that you like that you think could be a good developmental quarterback?
Yeah, I think Tony, Kadarius Tony's an all-around weapon. And, yeah, he's going to go somewhere. I thought Washington at 19 could look at him, but I gave them the tackle. So Tony would be there. Terrace Marshall Jr. is going to be in play there from LSU. I think there's a lot of really good second-round receivers. I think that's a spot, guys, where you could see teams waiting. And that's why if I'm the Jets, I wait on the receiver and take Kyle Pitts, because I can get a guy like Elijah Moore from Ole Miss, a Tutu Atwell from Louisville, a Rashad Bateman, Minnesota, Nico Collins, Michigan, Rondale Moore, Purdue, Tylan Wallace, Oklahoma State, a really good player in Amari Rodgers from Clemson, Josh Palmer from Tennessee, Des Fitzpatrick, Louisville, Marquez Stevenson, Houston. These are all second-round caliber receivers, and they're not all going to go in the second. Some of these guys will be pushed into the third. So you can get receivers in this draft. Second round was strong over the last few years with wide receivers. So that's why that would be an argument maybe against Tony, maybe get an offensive tackle like Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech, Walker Little from Stanford, maybe fix that spot, get an offensive tackle, then get the wide receiver, may be the route to go.
What about a developmental quarterback, Mal? Is there a guy in that second group of quarterbacks that maybe you like more than the rest?
Kyle Trask falls in at 6 from Florida. Now, he's a drop-back pocket passer, had a really good year. The guy that's moved up is Davis Mills from Stanford, who hasn't had a lot of starts, but was a highly rated kid coming out of high school. Has the size, has the ability to make all the throws. Smart kid. I mean, he's interesting. Jamie Newman would have been a quarterback we probably would have been talking about a little bit more positively had he played at Georgia. He opted out. He had a really good year in 2019 at Wake Forest. He could be a guy to keep an eye on. I'm not as high on Kellen Mond as some people are. It's come out of Texas A&M. Same thing with Sam Ellinger. I view him as a backup coming out of Texas. Same thing with Ian Book at Notre Dame, more of a backup type. I'm not sold on Felipe Franks at Arkansas. So I think if you had to say right now, it would be Kyle Trask would be the second rounder, the sixth quarterback taken. After that, it would either be, in my opinion, either Davis Mills, Jamie Newman, or possibly Kellen Mond.
Mel, how does the fact that there has been no combine affect everybody's evaluation?
Yeah, they're going to maybe try to do something in Indy. I heard something today in that 8th to 11th of April area to bring some players into Indy. I haven't got the details of what that may be, but if they do something like that, that will help. Getting verified measurables is important. Getting the medical, the interviews. They did some of the interviews at the Senior Bowl, but getting that verified medical, all the different things you normally have, you don't right now. Players opted out. We don't know what kind of shape they're in. You had no contact with opt-outs. Teams couldn't do anything with the opt-outs during the course of the year. So how did they work? How did they train? What did they do? How do they look now? And not being away from football for a year. So I think all those things factor in to make this the most mysterious draft I've ever covered in 43 years. You know less about these players going into the draft than any draft I can ever remember.
All right. And just to wrap this thing up, Mel, you said you and Dari were talking on this radio station about the Bears being the one of the biggest mystery teams. So if you would have to spin the quarterback roulette wheel, who today would you predict would be the Bears quarterback in 2021?
I don't know. How about what? Tommy, help me out here. Who do you think?
Yeah, you know what, Mel? I've resigned myself to the fact that it's going to be Nick Foles and a rookie.
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't want to. I hate guessing. Everything's a guess, but yeah. I don't like just off the top of it throwing something out there because, we thought about Marcus Mariota, and you think about, do you want to go that route? But is that an improvement over Mitchell Trubisky? How much of an improvement? They're in similar situations. Now, we'd ask Mariota, who went to the Raiders, to kind of do what Tannehill did. Remember, Tannehill left Miami, went to Tennessee, kind of resurrected his career. Mariota kind of did resurrect his career a little bit with the Raiders. Now, does he come there? Trubisky's going to try to resurrect his career somewhere else. That's what you're trying to do. I mean, nobody thought Tannehill would ever get that job in Tennessee. Got it because Mariota struggled, and all of a sudden Tannehill's playing really good football. So maybe you can get one of those guys, gets a second chance, and does a really good job. Maybe you could, a Mariota. But if you want to go up, maybe, like you say, maybe it is one of these guys. You're aggressive. You move up from 20 to say 9, 10, 8, 9, 10, in that 7, 8 to 10 area, then maybe you get a Justin Fields, a Mac Jones, or a Trey Lance. And I don't know which one they would like the best out of that group. They're all, I think, going to be in that area where they come off the board. And that also will depend upon whether the team, say Carolina, we know Carolina's taking a quarterback. They're going to get one. You got to think seven where the Lions are picking and nine where the Broncos are picking could be a spot where those two teams would look to maybe move off of that pick and allow somebody to go up and get either Lance, or if you want to get, say, Jones ahead of Carolina, you could, or get a guy like Justin Fields. Of that group, the guy, if you're asking me who I would go up to get, it would be Justin Fields.
Okay. Great. And then just for clarification, too, on Get Up Today, I heard correctly when you said there is not a too high of a price to pay for Deshaun Watson, right? Like, of all the people calling and say, well, you can't give up everything for Deshaun Watson, you're on the opposite end of that. You would give up as much as possible.
I'm big on the quarterback. I think once you get the quarterback, you should be miles ahead of everybody. This is a league where there's a lot of great quarterbacks. Some are still trying to figure it out. I'm big on the divisions, too, guys. I think you got to look inside your division. If you can't win your division, good luck. I mean, wild card's fine, but you got to be right there at the top in terms of your quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers still has how many more great years left? 4 or 5? We'll see. Kirk Cousins isn't going to scare anybody, but he's adequate. Detroit with Jared Goff, not going to scare anybody, but at least they have their guy, and the Bears don't. So you got one with a Hall of Famer, two with what they think are solid starters, and one, a mystery. So I want to be able to get close to Aaron. I may not want to catch Aaron Rodgers. I want to be close enough where if my team's good enough, I can beat the Packers. So to me, you know, it's about the quarterback position. If you get Deshaun Watson at age 25, I would give up whatever it took. Right. But, and I know it's not going to be, you know, 6 first-round picks. I'm saying if we were talking about 3 first-round picks, whatever it may be, in a player, whatever it took, reasonable, which is reasonable. But I would go as far as I need to go within reason to get Deshaun Watson. Although, like I say, Diana Rossini said today that Nick Caserio, the new GM there, is trying to work it out with Deshaun. Is it irreparable damage done there with that organization in Deshaun? Who knows? If it is, they'll probably be forced to make a deal close to the draft. But they may wait it out a little bit and see if they can fix that whole situation with Deshaun, knowing what a great quarterback he is. Why would you want to trade him if you're Houston? But if it is irreparable and they can't fix it, then he becomes available. I would do whatever it takes if I'm the Bears, knowing the predicament they're in, to go get him.
Amen.
Mal, always love having you on. We appreciate your work. Keep it up, all right?
Thank you,
Mal.
Have
a great job, guys. You guys have a great job, man. Take care.
And he's off.
Man, Mal's with them. He hung up quicker than
he was talking to us right there. He's got a lot of people to talk to. He's doing a lot of shows today.
That was the best. Mal, people were commenting too on Twitch that he's a machine.
Yeah.
Whoever said he's a machine, you nailed it. This guy knows everything, and he can tell you about it quicker than anyone else.
You want to talk about a safety at Penn State? We'll talk about a safety at Penn State. You want to go to offensive lineman at Clemson? We'll do offensive lineman at Clemson. You want to go to Alabama wide receivers? I mean, he can do it all.
That was the best.
And you named, like, big schools, too. Like, he'll go to, like, Appalachian State. Oh, yeah. And, like, he'll tell you about Boise kids.
Yeah.
But I don't even mind being hung up there. That was, like, a good hang-up. Like, I've been hung up on in a bad way.
Hung up on by lesser folks, that's for sure.
Right, but it was a good way. He was done. We were done. He hung up, though, quickly. But quicker than I could even throw it to break. All right. There are lots of interesting things out there regarding Russell Wilson. There are some who believe that he truly does want to be a Bear. I'll read that to you. And another current Bear is recruiting him. That's all coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right, Cordero Patterson has changed his profile picture. And then he tweeted about it as well. So not only did he change the profile picture, he tweeted 23 minutes ago while we were talking to Mel, and he hashtagged it, new profile pic. And it's a picture with his arm around Russell Wilson at an event. As the Russell Wilson watch continues.
It's just starting.
It's just starting. Him being unhappy in Seattle and Adam Schefter tweeting about an hour and a half ago that the Bears are on his list of trades that he would approve if he were to get dealt. There are only 4 teams on it. It's Dallas, New Orleans, Vegas, and Chicago.
Vegas, baby, Vegas.
Do you see, too, there was a couple of good ones here from Robert Mays, who does a great job, and he's on The Athletic now. He had a good tweet about Russell Wilson saying, I know it seems silly for the Bears to be on Russell Wilson's list, but for a guy who seems consumed with his legacy, is it really that crazy? If it worked, imagine what Russell Wilson would be for this football-obsessed, quarterback-starved city, somewhere between a man and a god. Sort of what we talked about.
And I think it's in the context of what would lead Russ to put the Bears on his list of desirable destinations. And don't get me wrong, I'm thrilled that we are on his list. But what is it about playing here that would be most appealing to him, if you had to guess?
Well, probably that. I think, you know, you've talked a lot about it. I think it's still a very desirable city to live in. This is a very livable city. People love being here.
It's a great town.
Look at all the former Bears who were never from here and stayed here. Okay? They were from the South. They were from warm weather places. I mean, Olin Krutz is from Hawaii, for goodness sake. And now he loves it in this town. Mm-hmm. Alex Brown, Lance Briggs. You know, I think Urlacher still has a part-time residence here.
Alex is in Atlanta now, I think.
But who is?
Alex is, I think so.
Alex Brown?
I think so. I think
he doesn't live here?
I don't think so. But your point is well taken. Matt Forte's here.
Yeah.
Anthony Adams is here.
A lot of our athletes. And no, the winter.
Jay Hilgenberg is here. Yeah. Keith Van Horn is here.
You're here.
Jim Morrissey is here. Like, I can go down the list. The Big O is here. I mean, like, there's a lot of guys. Dan Hampton is here. McMichael is still here.
Look at what Theo said about this city. You know, Theo's done here, but he says he's keeping his residence here. He's raising his kids here. He was from Boston, and he's not going back to Boston. He's staying here. Many of these people tell us that Jason Hayward has made this his 24/7 home. Tim Anderson has made this his 24/7 home. Neither of them are from here. It is still, whatever you say, whatever way you spin it, the winter and this and that, Chicago is still a world-class city.
And so, to go back to what we had a caller say, that Sierra is from Chicago, remember?
Right.
And she's not really from Chicago. Sierra does have a child with rapper Future. And so maybe they want to be somewhere
in the Midwest,
closer, and not necessarily in the Midwest, but New Orleans. Future's from Atlanta, so you know New Orleans is somewhat closer, I guess, than anything's closer than Seattle. Just put it that way. Anything is closer than Seattle, so maybe they are looking for places that are closer for living. I'm just trying to.
Well, New Orleans is obvious because they've got Sean Payton and a very good football team.
Yeah.
You've got a chance to win at New Orleans right away.
I'm just trying to, if they're not thinking about, if they're thinking about like personal lives and things like that, then maybe that's a reason why some of these teams are on the list, because they're closer to where her child is and so Future can see
right.
his kid.
Doesn't Future have like a million kids with a million different people too?
A million's a big number.
Well, not a million. I mean, that would be overselling it. But the four towns are really, you know, those are big destination cities. Like Dallas for football is a huge place. People love it down in Dallas. People love New Orleans. Vegas is the other place in Chicago.
Adam, you were telling me, too, that the contract itself is very reasonable. I know he signed a large extension with Seattle, but maybe a lot of that money was front-loaded, and he got a lot of that early in the deal. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, so according to our good friend PFF Brad, who joined us earlier this week, or last week, week? I don't know what day.
Not BFF Brad.
No, PFF.
Because he'd be our best friend forever,
No,
Brad.
He's our PFF Brad.
Pro Football Focus Brad.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 2021, he gets $19 million fully guaranteed. In 2022, he gets $19 million base salary with a $5 million roster bonus.
Jeez.
And in 2023, he gets a $22 million base salary with a $5 million roster bonus. So you're getting a cap hit of 19, 24, and 27.
We'll extend him. I mean, just whatever. Give him
What kind of dead cap hit are you getting if you were
them?
Instead
of the Willis Tower, it's the Wilson Tower now.
Am I reading this correctly, that the dead cap money in 2021, this is on Sports Track? Is $58 million?
The dead cap for who? For
Seattle?
Is that true? I don't know.
No.
Not if he's only owed $19 million. How could the dead cap be $60 million?
Well, because he got probably a signing bonus of $1 trillion.
Yeah.
Get Brad back on the show.
Yeah, get Brad. Get Brad on the phone.
And
how? I mean, because this is a really important question. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles prove that there is no financial sandwich that is too big to consume in terms of a dead cap hit.
Right. When you want
like
a guy out.
There's
a difference between Carson Wentz and Russell Wilson.
Correct. But I would think because this was a contract extension that was signed when? Signed a four-year, $140 million new money extension with the Seahawks on April 15th of 2019 that included a $65 million signing bonus.
Here's how it works. If he's released, which he won't be, before June 1st, because June 1st is that date, right?
The magical day.
He would have a dead cap hit of $58 million, like you said. If they trade him, he has a dead cap of $39 million.
Okay,
but post... June 1st, if they trade him, he has a dead cap hit in 2021 of $13 million and in 2022 of $26
million. That's a huge... Seattle is doing everything possible
to make him happy.
Yeah. He is trying to make them jealous with this play. He's using us.
But we're hot, damn it!
No, we're not.
Take our glasses off.
No, we're not. We're not hot.
Fix our hair.
No, we haven't been in a gym in weeks.
Nobody has. Nobody's
Wait,
been
but you can work out at home.
Unless you're Danny Zetterman and you made one out of it.
Not true. You can run in place and do push-ups if that's what it takes.
Oh, yeah. We're doing the fat guy workout, the COVID fat guy workout.
The running in place
doing
workout
Doing some lunges in your kitchen.
Okay, that's fine. But if that's the only thing you got is to run in place and do push-ups or to get fat and unhealthy, what are you going to do?
Are you doing that one workout where you're running in place and then falling to the ground hard doing push-ups, getting back up, running some more, then falling to the ground again?
I do have a treadmill. I invested in a treadmill, so I am running in place. And it is easier because it's
different.
Very spongy and it's like you're really not running. It's the best way to run if you're old and tired and sore.
On the treadmill?
Yes. Yeah,
of course. 332-3776 if you want to react. The Russell Wilson news is out there. We'll continue to give you the latest on that. Deshaun Watson still reiterated with Houston, as much as they don't want to deal him, that he is not going to play for them. So that standoff continues as well. Waddle's World is coming up. Lots to get to next.
It's a lot better than the 10 Zoom meetings you've been on today.
This may take a couple of days, maybe more.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000 and listen to Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Is that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Waddle's World brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. I was asking the fellas just a moment ago if anybody had a recent update on Tiger Woods' condition.
It's been awfully quiet, hasn't
it? Yeah, I haven't heard anything. Have you seen anything?
I haven't seen anything. I just saw there was a scroll this morning just basically saying that, like, just thanking everyone for... Yeah. You know, the well wishes and everything like that.
Yeah. All right. So we'll keep our ear to the ground on that front.
Yes, we will.
Did you see the Illini star basketball player Io broke a bone in his face?
Yeah.
He's out indefinitely.
Is he going to be back for the tournament?
Brad Underwood, their coach, didn't offer a specific timeline for his return, but said he wouldn't play against Nebraska tonight.
Right, they're trying to bounce back after the Michigan State loss. He's a great player.
He is.
Great player.
Well, is he coming out for the draft this year?
Yeah, he wanted to come out last year. Remember that? And then he went back.
Right.
So,
players do play with broken nose.
Yeah, they wear the face guard.
Yeah. So. The Rip Hamilton face mask, right?
Yeah, no word on when he'll be back, though. He's eager to play. And Underwood said, we are hopeful for his return to the lineup. He is averaging 21.6, 0.3 rebounds and almost 5.5 assists. He is currently the number 35 in ESPN's NBA draft rankings.
Okay.
So, and by the way, that injury update is brought to you by Rush University System for Health. Rush has been providing excellent care to patients throughout the pandemic. There is no need to delay health visits. They offer care in safe environments or virtually. Learn more at rush.edu. I've got, what do I have tonight to watch? Don't I have Blackhawks and Blue Jackets?
Yes. You've got
Hawks and BJs tonight on my
six
television.
O'clock,
Blue Jackets.
Drop. Right.
Don't look at me like that. That's what they call them
the
in
Blue
Columbus.
Blue Jackets. Yes. The BJs.
Yes. Like, are you, look, I know you're not a hockey guy, Abdallah, but, like, come on, get
Whoa.
With it.
Whoa! Whoa!
Jeez.
Whoa!
It's like Carmen just walked in.
Whoa! You do not slander Puckdallah like that.
My favorite promotion on the entire station is the one where Carmen starts on a slow roll, and then by the end, he's boiling over because of the Bears situation. Black and I laugh every time that thing plays. Because an angry Carm is my favorite Carm.
Oh, yeah, and you could trigger
but
him.
You can hear it building. And it's building, and then all of a sudden he's yelling! Yeah.
Well, you guys never produced for him. I mean, that's how he used to be all
but
the time.
But he's so much calmer now than he used to be.
He used to be all roided up. He'd get when he was working nights, this is when they broke up the great Carmen and Sylvie, or Sylvie and Carmen, whatever you want to call it, Sylvie.
It was Sylvie and Carmen.
Of course, Sylvie and Carmen. Let it be known that it was Sylvie and Carmen. when they broke up that fine program, Chris and I produced with Carmen and Hood, Carmen and JD, Hood and JD, all the various night programs. And that's when Carmen would just sit at home and work out all day. And he would come in, and he'd be all creatined up.
Sweating profusely, because if you ever took creatine, you sweat like you stole something.
So, yeah, he's always like that. It would be like, you know what, guys, like this is when, like, the White Sox weren't very good. And he was like, you know, this White Sox team, I just don't understand.
Chris, do you have your fingers on the button there about like
I can look it up. It's titled Carmen Angry. By the way, that's the name of the promo.
The promo name
is Carmen Angry.
You feel the slow build. There's a slow build, and you just like I'm sitting in my car driving, and I start to giggle because I know he's gonna get mad.
Waddle and I were laughing at it yesterday because I was like, Waddle, do you know that the title that Joe McCardle labeled this promo as is Carmen Angry? Here it is.
Carmen and Yurko.
I don't like the idea of continually giving up first round picks. I don't know when this started where it's like, you don't need
but
it.
You don't have a solution at quarterback, right?
No, you don't.
So somehow, some way, you need to find a quarterback.
And I feel like they're getting played all the time. Why are they driving a hard bargain?
Here
they don't want him! Why are you bending over backwards? Because you're right. So desperate.
Did you miss something?
It's infuriating.
Podcasts are a click away on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko now 10 to noon daily.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'm angry, but I'm not going to get upset. I'm angry, but I'm not going to get upset. Oh, what the hell? I'm so mad right now.
But remember the Waddle, the old bit with Carmen that I used to always tell you was, you can tell him, Carmen, there's a bomb in your house. And if you don't get the kids and your wife out, everyone's going to die, including everyone in the neighborhood. He's like, you know what? We'll do our best.
Come on, kids. Let's go, I guess.
Keep your heads. Keep it cool.
In the office, there are no paper clips left. And Sylvie, how would he...
No paper clips
together.
What kind of office is this? Doesn't anyone go to Office Max anymore?
It's a multi-million-dollar radio station.
ESPN and you can't get a paper clip.
it's a slow boil. And you walk by, you put a big pot of water on the stove to try to, you're gonna cook some pasta, and you walk by the first time and it maybe a bubble here and it maybe a bubble there. 5 minutes later you walk by and it's a roiling boil.
Carm, I got some bad news. Your entire retirement fund has been wiped out.
I'll just work, I guess.
It's just money and I'm putting in my time.
I got whiskey, that's all I need.
Yes.
Whatever.
It's Whiskey Wednesday.
Carmen, the stapler's broken.
Yeah. What the?
I got papers here that need to be put together.
He just sent us a text and nothing gets me angry like sucky bears and sucky socks.
I loved creatine carb back in the day.
Creatine carb. J.J. Watt has offers from multiple teams. I saw this earlier, according to ESPN's Diana Rossini. Free agent defensive end J.J. Watt has received contract offers from multiple teams, league sources tell ESPN's Diana Rossini. Multiple sources tell Rossini that the most lucrative offer Watt currently has on the table is believed to be worth between $15 and $16 million. Is that per year?
No.
I find no way in a salary cap constricted environment.
I would think that's a two-year deal, right?
Yeah, there's no way you can offer him $15 million a year.
He's probably guaranteed money.
Like Pittsburgh doesn't have much money. A lot of people say there. Cleveland,
two years.
Is that his agent?
2 years, $16 million guaranteed.
Right.
And then maybe it ups to, you know, with incentives, it gets up to 19 or 20.
But I'm thinking 15, 16 million per year. And I listen, he's been one of the most dominant defensive players in the last 10, 15 years. He and Aaron Donald. But at this point, if that was the case, you could have traded him. The Texans, who, I mean, they can't do anything, right, at this point. But you could have traded him. So you got that going for you, which is nice. Hey, when we come back, I do have some nonsense, but I also have a really good story for everybody here in Chicago that I think you're going to be pleased with.
Right, and we're keeping you posted, too, on Russell Wilson has the Bears on his teams that he would approve a trade to. All that coming up.
Wait for it. This hour is brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X5.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, this is some good news for you if you want to get out and about and get back to some sense of normalcy here in the city of Chicago.
Please.
City Hall is instructing Chicago police and other agencies to begin planning for a return to more traditional summer events, according to sources. The development signals that Mayor Lori Lightfoot is preparing to further relax COVID-19 restrictions that would allow for large crowds to gather for summer staples such as concerts, sporting events, fairs, and festivals. No specific dates are being offered. Planning for those events sometimes takes months and includes interagency collaboration for crowd control, traffic management, and the use of park district resources. So
we should do a pool where we have to, you know, sort of like a baby pool where we guess the date of the first game, professional game, where there will be fans in the stands in Chicago.
What is it that you are itching to do
first?
I know, Abdallah, I'm looking at you. It's probably a concert, right? Going to a concert.
Yeah, Tots at a Bar with the Bros.
Tots at the Bar with the Bros. Okay, and that's not a concert.
No, but
that's
just,
that is what it said.
Yes.
Literally, Tots
at the Bar with the Bros.
At a bar with your friends.
Watching sports.
Your bros. Yeah.
But yes, it's been officially a year since I've seen a concert, and like I get like the Dave Chappelle like scratches from the sketch. Like I'm itchy and scratchy to go to see live music again.
I need to take my kids to an athletic event. The last game that we saw was Bulls Dallas because we wanted to see Doncic. My oldest got to see Doncic. When you're as young as they are, they don't get into sports on TV. They need to be there to see all the bells and whistles and entertainment to get them into that. And they've missed that for a full year. So now they don't care about watching anything on TV because they haven't been to one of these events. I need to go with the family to a Bulls game, a Hawks game, or a baseball game.
Not a water park?
I'm not a water park guy these days. I'm a Six Flags guy. That's on the list. That's in the top five. Ride a roller coaster. And we've certainly figuratively rode the roller coaster here in the last year.
Oh, that is true. That is true. Chris, what is it that you would like to do most?
Give me some of the great Chicago street festivals.
Okay.
It's a good question.
You're right there by Taste of Randolph.
Yeah, I'm in the West Loop now, so let's do that. It's a good one.
And it's a really good one, yes. It's a little more mature. You know, the Wells Street Art Fair used to always be my number one because it was
also
early in the
one.
Year.
Yeah, it's a good one.
My favorite one that I've ever gone to was this is when Nick Friedell lived here before he went to go cover the Warriors and be the Warriors beat reporter.
Before he became a Bulls hater.
It was Roscoe.
He's been a long time Bulls hater.
That's true.
Yeah, the Roscoe Burger Fest.
Yeah,
imagine going
Roscoe,
to a festival
yeah.
of burgers with Nick Friedell.
Was it Taco Fest in the Southport Corridor? That's
yeah.
a good one.
Yeah, I can literally walk into that one. That's the best.
So many a lot of good ones.
38% of Americans would give up sex for a year just to travel again, a survey says.
Been there, done that.
Wait, hold
traveling.
On.
Traveling. No. I...
just with the hope of traveling? Like, there's no guarantee of traveling? Just no, for the I just by you know, by hook or by crook, you will be allowed to travel?
I feel like you're going to print that out and present that tonight and be like, hey, so are we traveling or what? I mean,
I've earned it, damn it.
There's a reason why we've been doing this, right? Because we're going on a trip.
Yes.
Desperate travelers say they would willingly give up love, sex, or money in exchange for a trip, according to a recent survey. Most said their idea of a dream vacation was now the opportunity to spend time with friends and family.
Yeah, a big vacation would be something special.
Yeah?
Where you just don't have to worry about it. I mean, I assume we're going to be wearing masks for a while, though. But just where you can go to dinner, do whatever. Ugh. Can't wait.
Staff at a University of Michigan library temporarily closed the building after three venomous spiders turned up in a basement storage area.
Yeah, that scares you.
How do venomous spiders get somewhere?
I don't know. They must have been shipped in.
The Mediterranean recluse spiders were found in late January in the Shapiro Undergraduate Library on the school's Ann Arbor campus. Were not in any public spaces.
Didn't you think one time you got bit by the brown recluse?
Yeah. But that was just me being a hypochondriac.
I don't know how, but I have a feeling Harbaugh had something to do with it.
You watch your mouth and get you a spider bite. So I don't know where they came from. Okay. Bites by the spiders can cause problems ranging from minor skin irritation to tissue death. Like, I've seen people that have gotten bitten by the brown recluse spider here in the Midwest where, like, you get chunks of your flesh die and you have to have them cut out.
It's gross.
You are a guy that is very scared of spiders.
Me, I am. I'm hugely scared of spiders and snakes.
If you could choose one that you would be able to handle better than the other, which do you think you could handle a room full of better?
Spiders.
If you had to be fear factored, where they dump a bunch of them on top.
Yeah,
of
spiders. We put you in a glass case and then we dump
Joe
them
Rogan's
in.
Out there.
Yeah. Those snakes would...
Making stuff up, talking into a microphone, but also dumping things on
making
you.
Making tens of millions of dollars every month.
This is pre that. This is when Joe Rogan was like, who's that guy? Remember Joe Rogan Fear Factory? He was skinny.
Yeah.
Florida man driving 120 miles per hour blames speed on a rap song called 120. 21-year-old Richard Lee Ortego was pulled over this past Saturday for driving 120 miles per hour down a Vero Beach, Florida interstate. He almost collided with other cars and initially didn't pull over as police officers signaled him to do so. I guess he was listening to a rap song called 120. And he blamed why he was speeding and wouldn't pull over because he was living the life of the rap song. Don't do that, kids.
All right. I got an offer here.
You weren't very impressed with that rap
song. I was not. No, anyway, we got to get to a break.
Hey, listen. Some of them get you. Some of them don't.
I've got something here. What would a Bears offer to the Seahawks look like to get Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson says he would approve a trade to the Bears if it were to come to that, and they're only one of four teams he would approve a trade to. It's what Adam Schefter has. I'll tell you about that coming up in 2 short minutes.